It looks like it's kicking in again for me. Apologize, we learned that it kicked off again, but I don't think we want to go back to the cellular version because it was buffering very slowly. It looks like this broadcast should kick in again soon. And we just finished reading Matthew 2, 1 through 8. And we saw there that though Herod was trying to have Jesus killed, trying to find out where he would be born because he didn't want to be threatened for his kingship, what he shows us is that they knew clearly from Micah 5, verse 8, which is quoted here, that the Christ child would be born in Bethlehem. So what we see Matthew showing us is through Herod and his concern to try to get rid of Jesus coming, the Lord uses it to prove to us that Jesus is the Christ because that was the prophecy that he would be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5, verse 8. That's what we read. I don't know what we might have missed when it kicked out. We're on again. Let's pray, ask the Lord would allow for our technology to last. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we cry out to you that you would see fit to cause our technology to work and not to have any more problems so that we could worship you together without any further interruption. And we pray that you would help us to continue to be patient. We just ask that you would allow this to work better. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, thank you for your patience. Actually, we were going to have the pastoral prayer there, so let's continue in prayer. O Lord in heaven, we pray to you, the great shepherd of the sheep, the bishop of our souls. We ask that you would comfort us in yourself. Pray that you would bless us with your holy power and presence, that you would show yourself to be king and our king, as we would bow our knee to you and obey you in all that you say in your word. Remove our hearts of pride, O Lord, and give us humble hearts, for you say that you humble the proud and you exalt the humble. Lord, we pray that you would help us to come to you, remembering we are sheep, we are ornery, we are stubborn and rebellious, we stray from you regularly. Pray that you would help us to hear your voice, O good shepherd, and be calmed by you in your green pastures and your still waters. We do pray for your healing ministry upon Becky Cervantes. We do pray for your blessing upon our brethren who are farther away. We think of Mr. Jose Sanchez in LA, and we think of Mrs. Aaron Delgado and George and David. We pray for them in Maryland that you'll keep them safe and be with them. We ask, O Lord God, that you would guide our church with wisdom, especially our session as we meet Tuesday to discuss many things, including what and if we should do for coming back to the building based on the leadership of our governor. We pray, O Lord, that you would give us wisdom as we talk with a man considering an internship and creative ways to try to make that work. We ask, O Lord, that you would guide us in all that we have to discuss and all that we have to plan, and that you would help us to lead well, and that our people would follow well, and that we would show all things to be done in decency and in order, for you are a God of order. Lord, we pray that you would order our minds now and our thoughts to be focused on you, to be ready to hear from you in your word, and to be blessed. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace, for your righteousness and for your holiness. We thank you for not treating us as our sins deserve, but casting them behind your back and into the depths of the sea. We ask, O Lord, that you will be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Psalters to Psalm 71 on page 144. Give me her Bible, too. Psalm 71, page 144. We're singing this psalm because of verse 6, which is our text for this evening. Verse 6 is the text that we are going to be looking at. And notice that, again, it's talking about what we saw in Psalm 139. God knew us in our mother's womb. God knew us in our mother's womb. He knew us before we were born. He put us there. He was working with us there. He was preparing us for life, and so he will sustain us in life. So you see that the psalm is saying, my trust is in you, my confidence is in you. I ask you, Lord, to deliver me from everything, and I can trust that you will be with me all my life, from my youth to being older, because you were with me before I was even born. And in fact, as we'll be reminded, he knew us before even we were conceived. So let us take comfort and trust in the Lord to deliver us, because he's with us all of our life. But we particularly think about how amazing it is that he's with us in our mother's womb in a mystical way, a wonderful way. Da 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 da. O Lord, my hope and confidence is placed in thee alone. Then let thy servant never be put to confusion. And let me in thy righteousness from thee deliverance have. Cause me escape, incline thine ear unto me and me say, be thou my dwelling rock to which I ever may resort. Thou gavest commandment be to save, for thou art my rock and fort. Free me, my God, from wicked hands, hands cruel and unjust. For thou, O Lord God, art my hope, and from my youth my trust. Thou from the womb didst hold me up. Thou art the same that me. Out of my mother's bowels took, I ever will praise thee. To many I a wonder am, but thou art my refuge strong. Filled let my mouth be with thy praise, and honor all day long. O, do not cast me off when as old age doth overtake me, and when my strength decayed is, then do not thou forsake me. For those that are mine enemies against me speak with hate, and they together counsel take, that for my soul lay wait.
Amen.
Well, as we just sang from Psalm 71, we're now going to go to Psalm 71 for our sermon this evening. If you turn there with me, please. Psalm 71 in your Bibles. We're going to look at verse 6, but what I'd like to do is go ahead and read all of the psalm for us, just to give you a taste of the context. But we're going to focus on Psalm verse 6. We'll look at a few verses in connection with it, but verse 6 is our focus. I have a heading in my Bible. It's not the original Hebrew, but I think it's a helpful summary of the psalm as we read it, and we don't spend too much time on the context. Let me read what it says. David prays both for himself and against the enemies of his soul for support in old age. For support in old age. He's thinking about his life, but that'll be interesting to consider, considering how far back he thinks in his life, to give him comfort that he will have God's support and deliverance in all things. So let me read all of Psalm 71, have verse 6 in view. I'll repeat that, and then we'll look at that together and give our hearts to it, to Christ. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man, for thou art my hope. O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. And again, verse 6 is our theme for the sermon this evening. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Well, before I continue, it does look like our system is working still okay. Does that seem to be the case? Yeah? Okay. All right. So Psalm 71, verse 6 is our theme. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Well, I thank you for your patience as I do more research for the Olivet Discourse to return to Matthew 24 and 25. Possibly next week, we'll see how things go. As I was thinking about what to preach on while I waited to do that, something had come to my mind of interest this week. Not so much like the same reasons as this morning and last week, just something that is such a blessing. Although I think that the idea and what comes from it is going to be a great blessing for us too, considering the pandemic and the uncertainty and the fear that we have. Will God take care of us still? The answer is always yes. This week in family worship, when we were singing Psalm 71, as it's one of my favorite psalms to sing, I love the words, I love the tune that goes with it, so we were singing it, and I was just blessed as we sang verse 6. I looked at my wife's belly, which is getting bigger every day. Sometimes we feel like it's bigger after she's had a nap. It just seems to be growing all the time. I looked at her belly and I thought of verse 6, and I was again blessed to be reminded, first of all, of how God speaks of pregnancy. He's always speaking of pregnancy with such special attention, with such kind attention, and making it seem, making it what it is, so precious, especially as we highlighted in Psalm 127. But he also just tells something again to us that I remember from other scriptures, and it's just something that's repeated that I therefore think is worth looking at again with our wife expecting our next son, our mother expecting our next son. And that is, he gives the most special, closest, intimate attention to the baby from its beginning in mommy's womb. It is a cause for comfort for all of our life, as God's special presence with us personally must always be the case, because it began for us when we were like this, before we could even be seen. He was with us. He was there with us. Because God has always personally been there with and for each of his people from their life's earliest, tiniest existence. Therefore, each Christian can live out their life trusting and praising God all along life's way. So much of life seems uncertain. So many times we're afraid and we need calls for deliverance, and we need to remember to trust God and not forget and not be afraid to trust God. He's been there before, he'll be there again. But as we see, David takes comfort thinking about his old age. He thinks all the way back to when he was just an embryo in his mother's womb, and there God was with him already, forming him, developing him, fellowshipping with him in a mystical way. Beloved, if God was with you in the womb, he will be with you wherever you go throughout the world, all your days. You can always trust God all of your life. And that's the message for you this evening. You can always trust God all of your life. You can always trust God with all of your life. You can always trust God all of your life. Isaac, our son who just turned 7, that's why we still have the sign and the balloons behind us here. He likes to talk to the babies in mommy's womb. When Gabriel was in mommy's womb, he'd always come up to her belly and talk, and he'd have his own little language there, but he would always talk. And then after Gabriel came to be with us on this side of mommy's womb, Isaac used to say, well, now who am I going to talk to? Or at least who am I going to talk to in mommy's womb? Because it'd become quite a practice. And but he was on the outside. He wasn't on the inside. And, you know, we're all wondering, what will he look like? What will he be like? Because he's on the inside. We don't have the same intimate connection. We talked to the baby also, and my understanding is they can hear pretty early on. I like to talk. I like to go to the belly button and say, this is the microphone, or this is the way this is how we get in and talk to the baby. And we talk to the baby, sing to the baby, and trust that he hears. But still, we are on the outside. But God is on the inside. That's the amazing thing. God is on the inside in some kind of mystical fellowship and care and developing of the baby in a way that we never could or we never would. From the earliest moment, God is there in a special, personal way with that baby. Look at our text, verse 6 of Psalm 71, the first part. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. The Lord is always with his covenant children. And whenever and in whatever providence he takes the child out, he's always with the child. He's the one taking the child out. The Lord is there, it says, in the womb. Holden me, it says, thou hast holden me. It means sustain, support. God is there sustaining and supporting the baby. It makes me think of Psalm 139, and it did when we sang it. I said, wow, that's the same idea that is in Psalm 139. We had been there a number of years ago for a sermon with the birth of David Noah Delgado. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, particularly, let me review with you. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And in verse 16, the Hebrew literally again is embryo. My substance, my embryo. You were there with me as an embryo. Psalm 22, verses 9 through 10, has a similar idea of God's presence in the womb with a covenant child. This is particularly of the Messiah, but it applies to all, including the writer. It says this, Psalm 22, 9 and 10. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. You see, he says, you are my God from the time I was in my mother's belly, you are my God. And you are the one that took me from the womb. Notice it says there in Psalm 139, as it does in our text tonight, Psalm 71, verse 6, you took me out of the womb. You see, not only was God in the womb from the beginning with the covenant child, but God took the child out of the womb himself in his providential timing. And God supports and sustains his people as tiny babes while in the belly of the mother, but also taking care of them at every season of life all along life's way, including, it talks about, at mother's breast, providing for all that the baby needs. God delivered the psalmist out of his mother's womb, so he would deliver him out of all stages of life, as the psalmist asks and the psalmist trusts. So again, the psalm is basically asking for deliverance, asking for help from enemies, asking for God to take care of him all his life. And he's knowing he can have trust in that, because God has been with him from the very, very beginning in his mother's womb. God is actually much more intimately connected with you than your mother ever will be, or than your mother ever was. Think about it. God was there knowing you before your mother even knew you were there. God was already putting you there, already developing you there before she sensed it. And God will therefore be with you continually. Our mothers die. God lives on. And he created your life. He began your life. He sustained it, and he will continue to do so. So there's no part of your life with which you cannot trust him. And you and I struggle to trust God. And this is an incredibly helpful reminder. He's always been there even before you and I really knew much about him. He was there knowing and caring for us. You can trust God, therefore, always. And so he opens the psalm in verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. He gives a number of reasons to know that he can, namely because God has always been there taking care of him. So there's no part of life which you cannot trust God. Trust God not only because of when you were just a little embryo and a baby and a suckling infant. Trust God also in your youth, at the prime of your life, as he says he can, and asks for, knowing that he can get the right answer. Look at verses 5 and 17. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Trust God also in your old age, at the end of your life. Verses 9 and 18. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. And verse 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. So he's saying, Lord, as I'm getting old, please take care of me then too. And I'm thinking about that you always have from my mother's womb. So I know you can, you did from my youth. And I'm trusting you to take care of me in old age. All of your life, you can trust God, because he's always been there and he always will be there. Praise him for this intimate, constant care and fellowship continually. That's the response. We should have no trouble coming to praise God constantly because of this continual care from our mother's womb through into eternity. Look at verse 6, the second part, the third part really. My praise shall be continually of thee. I'm never going to stop praising you, God. I'm never going to stop praising you. I'm never going to stop coming to worship you, especially in church, because of this truth. And the same idea is in verse 14. But I will hope continually, or I will trust in you continually, and will praise thee more and more. I will only more and more praise you as my life goes on, as I keep looking back and think about all the ways you've delivered me, and trust therefore that I know you when you will again. You'll deliver me even in my old age. Praise him for all of this. Further, God speaks this way, not just about individual Christians. God speaks this way in his intimate care for his church collectively. Remember elsewhere, he speaks of Israel as his child, his beloved. Isaiah 46, verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. So he speaks about the church that way too. I've known you from your infancy. I created you, Israel, and he did, right? I created you in your infancy. Then I delivered you out of Egypt. I delivered you through the Red Sea. I delivered you from yourselves in the wilderness. I delivered you into the promised land. And I have continued to deliver you even from my own discipline when you have strayed. And that discipline being, you know, the foreign powers that have taken them over many times. So he speaks of you individually, and he speaks of you as a church, as his child that he created and has always been with and is always taken care of and is always delivered. See Revelation 12 also. We see the church, the mother of the church, as the mother of the Christ child and of Christians, as a mother, a birthing mother, and God protecting her and protecting her children. Beloved, there is not one aspect or one moment of life in which God is not with you. And we need to remember that. We often feel alone. We often feel isolated. We often feel betrayed and abandoned. And sometimes we are, but never by God. But never by God. Hebrews 13, verse 5. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And no one else can really say that to you forever. But God can, and God does. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And because of the blood, my blood, Jesus says, of the covenant of grace, I will always take care of and deliver you. Your relationship with God continues beyond the grave in the resurrection, because your relationship with God actually began in the womb when he was relating with you there, but even actually before you were ever conceived. Before you existed, God had a knowledge of you, he who is eternal and outside of time. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Ephesians 1 verse 4 teaches us that God knew us before the foundation of the world. Beloved, whatever is going on in your life, whatever will happen to you in this life, you can trust that in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be assured that you can always trust God all of your life. And that is the message for you from the text this evening. All you have to do is think back all the way, like David does, to the moment when he made you and was with you and was forming you before anyone else knew you were there. He put you there, he knew you there, and he's always known you. He will always know you. And one day you will know him as you are known. You can always trust God all of your life. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we do thank you for such a revelation of intimacy, such a revelation of personal presence with you, such a fatherly care that only you can give, such a nurturing and development that only you could ever begin. And we know that all that is happening to the baby in the womb is actually your work. We pray, Father, that you would bless that work on our son who is coming in Fernanda's womb. We take comfort and are blessed to know that you already are there with him in a spiritual way, nurturing him, and including physically. Lord, this is marvelous. This is beyond our ability to fully comprehend, but it is comforting. And as we think about our own lives and our own bodies and our own beginning, to know you were there with us, we didn't start alone. So we'll never be alone and we will not end alone. For you are our God from the womb. And we are your people. Lord, we pray that you would comfort us with these words, that you would cause us to rejoice in pregnancy, cause us to rejoice in covenant children, and to love and discipline and bless them and guide them. And we pray, Lord, for all of our covenant children, that you will be growing them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, growing them to know and love you and respond to you, as John the Baptist did in his mother's womb, when he sensed the presence of the Christ child in Mary's womb. Lord, we pray for our nation to value not only pregnancy and motherhood, but to value the unborn child. And we cry out to you over the regular, monstrous, enormous numbers of murders of children in our nation constantly. And we cry out to you over this and ask that you would mercifully do work of reformation and revival in the church that would impact and be good leaven in our nation, and that you would surprise us and change things and protect the life of the unborn, especially as you are there with them who are yours. Lord, we do take comfort also for any of our children we may have lost prematurely, as it would seem to us, that you were there with them yet as well, and you took them as well, and they are with you as you were with them. And we can have great comfort and blessing to know of this special intimate relation with all your children in all your providences. And we look forward to the day when indeed you will bring your church, your child Israel, the house of Jacob, to full term and deliverance from this world once and for all, into the new heavens and the new earth. Lord, keep us with our eyes on you, and help us, Lord, to be anticipating your return for us, and to know we can always trust you with all of our life, including the very final moments, so we need not fear. We can be encouraged, we can be blessed, we can be at peace. We do thank you, O Lord, because we know that we do not deserve any of this. This is your sovereign grace, your sovereign election, and your wonderful blessing. We ask, O triune God, that you will help us to serve you well the rest of this evening and through the week. And we do pray your special blessing on Fernanda in her fatigue with the baby, and pray that you will comfort her with these words and encourage her to know that something marvelous and mysterious and blessed is happening within her womb, and that you are with her in a special way because you are with her child. And we pray for all mothers expectant and nursing. We pray for all parents, all siblings, all families in the Christ, that you will comfort us all as we are waiting to be delivered together, looking back throughout all of our life as we face our future that seems uncertain to us, knowing it is not uncertain for you, and you will never leave us nor forsake us. Indeed, you are our good shepherd who leads us through paths of righteousness for your name's sake, and even through the valley of the shadow of death, so we shall have no fear, and we shall not want, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We pray with thanksgiving and with peace in Jesus' name, and all your people said, Amen. Amen. Beloved, would you turn with me to page 133 in your Psalter, or we'll close with our evening closing psalm we sing every week on page 133. Psalm 67, page 133. Da 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 da. Lord, bless and pity us. Shine on us with thy face, that the earth thy way and nations all may know thy saving grace. Let people praise thee, Lord. Let people all thee praise. Oh, let the nations be glad, in songs their voices raise. Thou justly people judge, on earth rule nations all. Let people praise thee, Lord, let them praise thee, both great and small. The earth her fruit shall yield, our God shall blessing send. God shall us bless, men shall him fear, unto earth's utmost end. Amen. Now I receive the blessing of the triune God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Amen. Well, before we are dismissed for the evening, we're going to have a time of teaching, as we do through the Westminster Standards, and memorization of some of the scriptures, and study of the scriptures throughout. So let's turn to the Confession of Faith, chapter 11. We're still on the topic of justification, chapter 11. And we just finished the section 2 last week, which emphasized that if there is justifying faith that is true justifying faith, it'll be followed by good works. Good works will accompany it. Good works will have nothing to do with justification, but they are a product of being justified by God. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 would be a good place to go for that. So now, that having been said, we turn to the next section, section 3. And since it's the first time we're reading it recently, we'll read it together. Of justification, section 3. Christ, by his obedience and death, did fully discharge the debt of all those that are thus justified, and did make a proper, real, and full satisfaction to his Father's justice in their behalf. Yet inasmuch as he was given by the Father for them, and his obedience and satisfaction accepted in their stead, and both freely, not for anything in them. Their justification is only of free grace, that both the exact justice and rich grace of God might be glorified in the justification of sinners. So this section is wanting to emphasize while good works accompany justification, nothing about the aspect of us being justified is anything that we take any credit for. It's all pointing to God as the justifier. He gets all the glory. It's all from him. And we'll begin to look at the parts of it with the letter clauses and scriptures in weeks to come. For now, let's turn ahead to the Westminster Larger Catechism. Question and answer 112. We're still talking about the third commandment. Question 111 tells us what is the third commandment. And that is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And we're looking still in question 112, what is required in the third commandment? So I'll read the question and we can read the answer together. And we'll look at clause letter X in the scripture reference for that. What is required in the third commandment? The third commandment requires that the name of God, his titles, attributes, ordinances, the word, sacraments, prayer, oaths, vows, lots, his works, and whatsoever else there is whereby he makes himself known, be holily and reverently used in thought, meditation, word, and writing, by an holy profession and answerable conversation, to the glory of God and the good of ourselves and others. Okay. So what we're looking at, the context is all these different things whereby God has made himself known, we have to use in a holy, reverent way. Thought, meditation, word, and now we look at writing, letter X, writing. So what we write has to be careful about representing God in all the ways he represents himself, including the Bible. And so we look at writing. For letter X in the text here. Psalm 102, verse 18. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. So the writing of God's word is to bless future generations with a reverence to praise the Lord, a response to praise him. Praise, after all, is showing God respect, showing him that he is worthy to be glorified. Thinking about that what we write has to praise the Lord. Some of us in the family and some of us in the church have talked about, I think especially in social media, but one manifestation of it is, am I saying it right, memes? I'm old. you know, even in the Reformed faith, there are often a number of memes, pictures with captions, usually to tell a joke, that really I think we would say is not reverent, is not hallowing God's name, is not careful, making fun of something in the Bible, making a joke out of the Bible, making a mockery of people, sometimes just contrasting doctrines, or just making a mockery of our own beliefs for the sake of cracking a joke. And that would be things in writing, you know, and in drawings that, as one example, we need to be careful about. We need to be careful that we don't engage in things in social media with Christians who maybe are well-meaning but aren't wise. We shouldn't be making jokes about, we shouldn't be disrespecting the Lord in writing or participating in the disrespect of the Lord in writing. Well, let's turn now to the Shorter Catechism, question and answer 57. And the catechism answer is the same as the text for this week. It's not usually not the case, but when it's the commandment, that's also the memory verse. So let me give it a try. We turn now to the fourth commandment. Which is the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day? But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Got it okay? Oh, I forgot nor thy daughter. Okay. Okay, let me see. I don't have it in front of me. Thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant. I think I was trying so hard to remember the part that didn't have the word nor that I skipped right over, nor thy daughter. Okay. Nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. And the rest I got okay, right? Okay. So that's the memory verses as well. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. You want to take a try at it, kids? Okay. Which is the fourth commandment?
The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord thy God blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Good, very good. Okay, well, we'll start to study what's required and what is forbidden in the following catechisms about the fourth commandment. But let's remember the fourth commandment is right in the middle. It's significant in a number of ways that we've preached through many times by being in the middle. It's the sign of God's covenant people. It's the seal of God with God's covenant people being right in the middle. It's by far the longest commandment. And I think it's always worth considering. I've seen pictures, you know, you can buy the Ten Commandments in an art form, right? You can have the Ten Commandments put together in kind of an art craft frame. And I've seen pictures, people suggesting, well, if we're going to be honest with the way we look at the Ten Commandments and the way we practice the Ten Commandments, we should chisel out the Fourth Commandment. We should just put an X or cross it out or chisel it out effectively, practically, because the church largely... Sadly, even in the Reformed faith often doesn't really honor the Sabbath day as we should. But it's right there in between don't have idols, don't have any other gods, honor his name, and honor your mother and father, don't commit murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't covet. It's right in the middle of all those things we would never suggest no longer apply. And it's right in the middle. May it be that the Lord helps us to preserve it. Our memory verse for next week for what is required in Shorter Catechism 58 is my favorite verse to memorize on the Sabbath. I always need to refresh, so I'm glad that we're back here again. But I think this is just a great, great verse for memorizing as it relates to the Sabbath. So we turn to Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, and we'll say it together responsively, and then we'll close with prayer. Hear the word of the Lord. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. Well, let's pray. O Lord God in heaven, we pray that you would bless us this your Sabbath rest and worship. We know we do not do this perfectly, but we pray more and more we would heed these words of Isaiah, and that you would indeed sanctify yourself in our hearts by sanctifying your Sabbath. You are our Lord, and it is the Lord's day. And it is the day that we celebrate the resurrection, and we celebrate and look forward to the new heavens and earth and our eternal rest. We do thank you that you give us a day every week to rest because we're tired. We're thankful that you give us a day to worship all day because we struggle to devote ourselves to you in the scriptures throughout the week. So, Lord, we do and pray that we would call it a delight and that we would delight in you. Thank you for this Sabbath day we have enjoyed together. Forgive us for our sins that we've committed on this day. For the blood of Christ, we pray. And bless us as we go out this week, and again, give us wisdom as we consider as a session leading this church how to follow the leadership of our governor in relation to the words of our president. Give us wisdom. Help us to indeed seek to glorify you face to face while keeping safety for your people and balancing all these things. We love you, Lord God, and ask for you to provide and deliver. And we are thankful to know that we can trust you to do so all our life, ultimately delivering us from the dead at the great resurrection. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, thank you for being with us. I'm sorry that we had such technical difficulty again. I really can't explain it to you. All these different things were happening, and I can't tell you what happened. Hopefully, we'll be back together face-to-face in the building pretty soon. Have a wonderful night. Hey, Gabriel, you want to come say bye-bye? Come say bye-bye, yeah? Okay. Hi. Isaac wants to say it to you. Okay. You said hi this morning, Isaac, so don't cry. Oh, I got to get you up a little bit. So before we go, can we show? Now, he probably won't do it because they never perform to you. Say hi. Can you say please?
Ow.
No, say please?
Please.
And can you say thank you?
Thank you.
Oh, look at that. Where's your eyes? Really good. Oh, yeah. Show them really. Stop, Isaac. Stop. Where's your eye?
Eye.
No. Come on. You did it before. Where's your eye? Eye. Where's your nose? Where's your nose? He was doing it so good today.
Gabriel.
Where's your ears? Don't interrupt. Don't distract him. Where's your ears, huh? Well, he did. Yes. Yes. Where's your hair? Where's your head? Good. Where's your teeth? Yay. Well, that's your tongue. And your teeth are in there, too. Okay. Can you say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye. Love you. Blow a kiss.
Bye. Blow a kiss.
All right. All right. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful
Jesus week. Swimming.
Oh, he's saying Jesus too. Say Jesus.
Can I pause
That's
it?
That's good. Yeah, go ahead.